which I believe is very, very important in the days in which we live, especially here in the church, especially over this last few years. Many Christians have been detached from fellowship, and in many cases detached from their devotion time with the Lord, and consumed by things of this world. And so we're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 1 tonight. If you need a Bible, slip up your hand. We'll give you a Bible so you can follow along with us. Joshua chapter 1. How to stay the course. Something I think that we all need right now is to be encouraged to stay the course that we've been given. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We love your word here. Your word is truth. And we are so grateful and so thankful that you give us your precious word to lead us and guide us, as you tell us, Lord, to guide us in all righteousness. And you give us this beautiful life, Lord, to walk with you, to fellowship with you. And Lord, for those who are here tonight, those who are watching online, Lord, we pray that you would just minister to our hearts tonight. Help us to just settle in to your word. Lord, we ask your spirit would move in us, Lord, and minister to us right where we're at, Lord. As you even prayed, as Jesus prayed, he said, Father, sanctify them by your word, your truth. Your word is truth. And Lord, I pray that you would sanctify this time, Lord. Set it apart. Help us to get rid of the distractions and the cares and perhaps worries that we brought in tonight. And to just lay those things at the foot of the cross to hear from you, Lord. Please, Lord, minister to us tonight. Teach us tonight. Encourage us in our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Joshua chapter 1. Joshua is a guy I really like. Joshua's somebody that we can relate to. And one of the wonderful things about all the many people that God uses through Scripture, none of them are perfect, except Jesus, of course. But none of the people that God uses are perfect. They're all flawed, just like us. And Joshua, that was the case for him as well. He had flaws. He made mistakes. But it was God's divine strength and power that led Joshua and led the children of Israel and gave them the victories. And while Joshua had a course set before him, we all have a course that is set or charted for us, a divine path in life that God desires for us. Yes, God has a specific plan and a specific path for each and every one of us. And it's important that we stay on this path, because in this path, we find the many blessings of knowing God, seeing his hand, finding peace, finding strength. We get to see his hand working in our lives. We get to walk in a path that is truly blessed. Ephesians 2:10, which is one of my favorite scriptures, reminds us that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God has prepared for each and every one of us a course in our walk with the Lord. And in that course, we are going to face trials. We will face storms, obstacles of many types. There will be challenges. And yes, according to James, our faith will be tested at times. None of these things should shock us as we are on the path that God has given us. None of these should take us by surprise. In fact, it was Jesus who told the disciples and tells us today that you will go through many trials. You will go through struggles. But he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So we will go through the trials and testing. And the important thing is that when we go through trials, storms, testings, obstacles, whatever they may be, the important thing is that we don't get rerouted, if you will, you know, on those cars and on your phone when you got the GPS going and you make a wrong turn and it goes rerouting, 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 right? And if you don't have Wi-Fi, it's just kind of stuck rerouting and you get frustrated and you want to throw the thing out the car. Well, sometimes when we go through trials and we make a left turn or a right turn when we should have stayed straight, there's a rerouting that has to take place. And we either let it happen or we kick against it. You see, God always desires to pick up his children and set them back on the narrow path. That's grace. And our God is filled with much grace for us. He pours out grace upon grace towards us. And his desire is to keep us on the narrow path. It's not always easy staying the course that God has laid out for us. In fact, many times it can be difficult. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, Jesus even said that wide and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go there. Because narrow and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Narrow and difficult is the path that leads to life. So there will be these challenges that come up. Our walk with the Lord should be handled with the utmost care. In fact, when you order something online or you purchase an item online, you have it sent to your house, and it's something that's delicate or it's fragile, you know, you'll see that label on the box that says, handle with care. Handle with care. Because what is in here is precious. It's valuable. It's delicate. It can break easy. Church, our walk, our course that God has set before us is fragile. It's very fragile, and we need to handle with care. We're all one bad choice or one wrong choice away from being rerouted, if you would, from our course. All of us. And it saddens my heart to see many a Christian, especially over this past few years, to see them be derailed from the path that they were on. Many were derailed. We are to handle our walk with the Lord with care. And like Joshua, like it was with Joshua, again, Joshua was a warrior. He was a sergeant. He was a battle man. And he was a mighty warrior. He was also the successor to Moses. When Moses would pass the baton, it would go to Joshua. So now not only is Joshua commanding the children of Israel in battle, but with this new call in his life, he's also leading the children of Israel in their spiritual life. He's now not just a man of war, the guy who went and took out the bad guys, but now he's to lead the children of Israel spiritually. And yes, as God puts these ministries in our heart and these callings in our heart, various ministries, I'm sure that it had to take Joshua by surprise when Moses smote the rock rather than speak to it as the Lord commanded him. He smote the rock. He hit it. In doing so, he misrepresented who the Lord is and physically was not allowed to see the promised land, which Joshua and the children will see. I'm sure that took Joshua by surprise. I'm sure it took many of them by surprise. Whoa, Mo, what are you doing? His anger at the children of Israel overwhelmed him, frustration. And now, with Moses laid to rest, it's Joshua's turn to take up the mantle and lead the children of Israel, which is not an easy task when you have 2.5 to 3 million complainers. And remember, Joshua is a man of war. He is a warrior. He is a military man, called to lead with grace now and lead the children spiritually, the children of Israel. They faced many obstacles in the book of Joshua, which you can read, many battles, and there was much testing on their way to inherit the promised land that God promised to Moses. And Joshua would need strength for this feat. Not only would he need strength, he would need courage. Not only would he need courage, but he would also need to be encouraged by the Lord. He would need those things to accomplish this. And by the way, anything that God calls you to do in your life, know this, we can do nothing apart from him. And I mean, even getting a cold drink of water for someone, we cannot do it apart from the Lord. Because if we do, it's pointless. Everything needs to be found in the Lord. God promised to Moses and the children of Israel a promised land, and Joshua would need strength to see the people see this. They would need his guidance, his protection, and Joshua would definitely need encouragement from the Lord. So repeatedly in the book of Joshua, in fact, many, many times, it is said that every victory that they had was because of God's intervention. Every victory belonged to the Lord. And the time they were defeated was when Joshua fell into the trap of, we got this. We got this. This little town's not going to get us. And they wiped, they got served. So we're going to be looking at verse 5 through 9. And as we look at Joshua's life and how God encourages Joshua, my prayer tonight is that this would speak to us as well, because this is for us. This is for us as well. These promises that God is going to give to Joshua, these promises are for you and for me. So let's look at verse 5 through 9. And we'll read that. In chapter 1, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. A list of beautiful promises here to Joshua and to us. He says in verse 5 that no man shall be able to stand before you. And as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear, Joshua. Do not fear what man can do. No man will be able to stand against you. No man will be able to stand against you, Christian. There will be those who try, but they can do nothing. They can do nothing. In fact, Proverbs 29:25 reminds us that the fear of man, it is a snare to us. It's a snare, a trap. It's a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. And he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I love that. Because to this day, the Lord promises us he will never leave us or forsake us. And when we feel alone, when we feel discouraged, sometimes those are the times that God is nearest to us. But we can't see it through the sadness. We can't see it through the sorrow or the depression, whatever's crept in. But we know, according to God's word, that he is near to the brokenhearted and saves such as have a contrite spirit. He is close to those who are sorrowful. He is very close. And his promises, he will never leave or forsake. Joshua, his promises that he will never leave nor forsake us. He is with us. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, as Paul is writing to dear Timothy, he's kind of going over a little bit of the things he had been through. You know, the shipwrecks and the being imprisoned and, you know, being beat to death. Just a few things that he went through. But he said to young Timothy, he said this in verse 17 of chapter 4, 2 Timothy, he said, in all this, he said, but the Lord stood with me and gave me strength. The Lord stood with me and gave me strength. So no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, the same God who Paul worshiped is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the same God who stood by Paul and strengthened him is the same God today who stands by us and strengthens us. That's good news. That's great news for us. That we have a God who will never leave us or forsake us, who stands with us through the trials, through the storms, through the obstacles, and he will never, ever, ever leave us. And he will stand with us, and he will strengthen us. See, we have a eternal security in the Lord that is far greater than anything this world can offer. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 39, he said, all that the Father has given me, he says, I shall not lose one. Not a one. Not one. He also said in John chapter 10, verse 28 and verse through verse 30, Jesus said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man be able to snatch them out of my hand. I'm going to repeat that. Neither shall any man be able to snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And Jesus said, I and the Father are one. So the fear of man is a snare. It's a trap. And he's reminding Joshua, You don't have anyone to fear of here, Joshua. You have no one to fear. He said, no man will be able to stand against you. So Joshua, be not afraid. The Lord says, I'm always with you. In verse 6, he says, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Here we go. Be strong and be of good courage, Joshua. Now, this is not the Lord admonishing Joshua to be strong in his own strength or in his own courage, but he's saying, be strong in my strength, Joshua. Let me strengthen you, Joshua. Let me give you courage. Let me give you the boldness you're going to need. Joshua's strength and courage was most definitely found in the Lord, as you will read throughout the book of Joshua. And for us as believers, the only true strength and courage that we can possibly obtain is going to come from the Lord. Because really, folks, in and of ourselves, we have no strength. We're these specks of dust walking around on this earth, shaking our fists at things and trying to show our might and our power, and we have none. Not in and of our own strength. But the Lord is mighty. The Lord is powerful. One of our theme verses from Calvary Chapel, and something we stand upon, is Zechariah 4:6. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by our might or our power, but by his spirit is he going to accomplish his work and bring strength. And how awesome is it in the day of Joshua that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon different men and women who love the Lord. But we as believers who have been born again are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We have been filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That is one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, is to always testify of Jesus Christ. He also leads us and guides us in truth and strengthens us, brings scripture to remembrance when we need it. And so we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and we need to rely upon the strength, power, and the might of Holy God if we are to be victorious in the battles that come our way. So any ideas of our own strength, we need to throw those things out the window. We have no strength. In fact, it was Paul who said, the Lord that reminded Paul, he said, "When you are weak, then I am strong, Paul." When we recognize just how weak we are apart from God, that's when his strength truly works in our life. And once we say, "I've got no strength, Lord," he says, "Okay, now we can work. Now you're a vessel that I can strengthen. Now that you're emptied of yourself, I'm going to fill you to be a vessel of honor and be used for his glory." To be of good courage, the word in the original Hebrew text is amatz. And it means to be alert, sober-minded, and well-established. That's what it means to be of good courage. To be alert, sober-minded, and established. You could also throw two more words in there. To be steadfast and immovable. To hold your ground. To stand your ground, to stand up for the things of the Lord. He says, "Hang on, Joshua, because there's a beautiful promise at the end of this course you're on." He says to us, "Hang in there, Christian, because there's a beautiful promise waiting for us at the end of our course. And we need to hold the course. We need to hold fast to the Lord, to his promises, to his word, so that we can stay the course, that we can finish our race well. I don't know when, no man does, but Jesus is coming soon. And folks, we need to be ready. We need to be ready. We need to be found close to the Lord like never before, and in the path that he's given us. I do not want the Lord to find me steering to the left or to the right and dusting me off. I don't want my last thing on earth to be getting dusted off because I fell off the path again. I don't want that. And I don't think you want that either. We all want to be found faithful when he comes. He says, "I'm coming for a bride without spot and blemish." We need to be found faithful in what God calls you to do and what he's called me to do. And nothing else really matters. If we're being faithful to God, He's going to work out everything in our life. Relationships, family, jobs, money situations, all those things. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He tells us that so that we would not seek after the things of the world, but that we would seek after Him, and we would seek after His perfect will for us. And in that will, in that perfect will that God has for each and every one of us, we find peace, we find joy, we find comfort, we find strength, we find guidance. We're encouraged, we're reminded that we are loved by the Creator of all the universe, the giver of life, the star-breathing, heavenly, holy God, Almighty God, who breathes the stars into existence, and he we're talking millions and millions, and He calls them by name. And we somehow think that God can't handle our problem. Somehow we fall into this trap that what we're going through is too much for God to handle. It's not so. God has prepared a path for you. You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. He has a path prepared for us. Be of good courage. Be sober-minded. Hang in there, Joshua. Be established, he says, because the promise that I gave their fathers is coming to pass soon. You're going to see a beautiful promise up ahead, Joshua, but you're going to need strength and courage to get there. You're going to need the Lord's strength and the Lord's courage to get there, just as we need the Lord's strength and His courage to get to the end of our course. In verse 7, again he repeats, only be strong and very courageous. The reason for the strength and the courage, look what he says here, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Only be strong, he says. Only be strong and very courageous. Why? To do what God says to do. To obey His word. And to not be distracted by falling or turning to the left or to the right, but staying the course. And the purpose of that, so that you may prosper wherever you go, Joshua. So that you, Christian, may prosper wherever you go. To be obedient to God's word is a challenge. But if we want to be blessed, if we want to find favor in the sight of Almighty God, we need to be obedient to His word. And where we fall short and where we lack, we need to ask God to strengthen us in those areas. And you can pray and you can ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Help me to be obedient to Your word. Help me with these things I struggle with. And He will. And He will. But oftentimes we stay in this place of struggling with this, that, or the other that is in contrast to God's word. And we sit there and we wallow in that, and we don't ask, and we have not because we ask not. Because we don't speak with Him. Because our prayer life gets diminished. You know, just a simple application question to ask yourself, because I certainly was challenged. Don't answer it. It's between you and God. But how often throughout the day do you spend time talking with your Heavenly Father? Not talking to, talking with Him in prayer and in the Word. And asking your Heavenly Father just to speak to you, to minister to your soul. Maybe taking time to just pray and give Him praise. while you're in the Word. That's the fellowship, the koinonia that God desires with his children. Because he is a loving father, he loves to be with his children. He loves to minister to us as his children. I think there's a lot to be said when the little children came running to Jesus and the disciples tried to shoo him away, and the Lord Jesus rebuked them for it. He said, "Suffer not the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven, you guys. For such is the kingdom of heaven." We're to have faith like a child, and we're to be next to our Heavenly Father as one. And we're to be obedient to his word, because James 1 reminds us that we are to be doers of the word and not just hearers deceiving ourselves. We can come to church on a Sunday or Wednesday and we can hear a message, but we don't listen. There's a difference between hearing and listening. When we listen, that's when we have a heart that is ready to hear from God. And we, with great expectation, desire to hear from him. That's listening. And then be doers of the word. Be doers of what it is God speaks to us about. See, in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus said a statement that is, I believe, so profound. He says, why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? You call me Lord, but you don't do what I say to do. You call me Lord, but you ignore what I tell you. He says, why? Why do you call me Lord? Do you think that by calling him Lord, that somehow you're going to be favored by God? God does not desire sacrifice. He desires obedience, Scripture tells us. He wants to see obedience. He wants his children to walk in the light and stay out of the darkness. And so Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? If we desire to stay the course, obedience to God's word is truly a matter of life and death. We desperately need to obey God's word. And even if it doesn't feel good, we don't walk by feeling. If it seems weird, well, his ways are not our ways. If we're thinking, maybe this isn't it, well, his thoughts are far beyond our thoughts. Again, he has prepared beforehand good works that you should walk in them. He has a plan prepared for you. The word of God also is a light to our path to stay the course. And Psalm 119:105 tells us that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. A lamp to my feet. In those days, the lamp would only give light just before the next step. It wasn't super bright to light the whole corridor and see everything at the end. It was designed that you could walk in the darkness and see where you're stepping. It wasn't designed, the lamps weren't designed to run with. They were designed to walk. And that each step you would take would be in the light. And the word of God is a lamp to our feet. It lights our steps. Another reason the obedience to God's word is so important. And the purpose of this, he reminds Joshua and he reminds us, is that we would, so that we would prosper wherever we go. Now that is a word that has been twisted. And unfortunately, we have prosperity gospels out there, and no, that's not what he's saying here. He's not saying you're going to, if you obey his word, you're going to be in a Ferrari and have a private jet. And No. The word in Hebrew for prosper is sakal. It means to bring good success, to learn instruction, to bring understanding, to obtain wisdom, to learn prudence, and to have self-control. I didn't see any Ferraris in there. Nothing about money. Nuh-uh. No, this is prospering in the Lord. This is far more valuable than anything this earth can give, this world can give. to bring us good success, to instruct us, to give us understanding, to obtain wisdom. How we desperately need wisdom. We need the wisdom of God in these days like never before. To learn prudence and to have self-control. That is what he's speaking of when he says, prosper wherever you go. In other words, Joshua, if you are obedient to the word, to meditate on this word, and are obedient to it, you're going to grow. You're going to grow as a child of God. You're going to have spiritual fruit in your life. The things that won't pass away. Things that are eternal. And he wants us to prosper in the context of what I just shared, the word prosper means. That's the prosperity God desires for his children, growth. Growth. In Hebrews, we're told, you know, there's an admonishment there. Get off the milk already and start reading the word. Get into the meat of God's word. He says, you're like all like babes in Christ, but you've been walking with the Lord for 20 years. And you're still on the milk. Get on the meat. Get in the word. And there is a promise for all men and women who love God's word. I want to share with you Psalm 1. I'm going to read it briefly here. But Psalm 1 explains to us just how blessed the man or woman is who loves God's word. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. In other words, he's avoiding counsel from the wicked. He's not seeking to get wisdom from this world. He's avoiding it. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. This man shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Again, same word. So it's not a monetary prosper here. It's spiritual growth. It's discipleship. It's becoming disciples, students of the word. You know, like the Bereans that Paul came into touch with. It was the Bereans who studied the scriptures to see if these things Paul was saying was true. They were studying the scriptures. They were in the word. He says, but the ungodly are not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So true. In the end days, God is going to separate the wheat from the chaff, the sheep from the goats. There will be a separation that takes place. And the wicked, those who have rejected the Lord, will not be able to stand with the righteousness or with the righteous of God, with his children. They will not be able to stand. Which also brings to mind the importance it is for us as believers to share the gospel wherever we go. Back to Joshua. Verse 8 says that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it, key word there, in it, day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. We see this same admonition three times mentioned in these four verses, to dig into the word, to dig into the law of God, the book of the law. The word of God is not just for Sundays and Wednesdays. It is for every day in our life. Morning, afternoon, and evening, whenever we have time or we make time. We are to meditate in it, day and night. He did not say meditate upon it. He said meditate in it. It's also a word that describes prayer, to meditate. Again, another word that's been twisted through our English vocabulary, but it's actually a prayerful word. It's a word to pray and seek God and to think upon Him as we're reading the word. Psalm 19 reminds us that the law of the Lord is perfect. It's perfect. Even converting the soul, it says. God's plan of salvation is all here. What must I do to be saved? All right here. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right here. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Right here. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God the Father raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Right here. There is power in the Word of God. God's Word is perfect. God's Word is true. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we're reminded that the Word of God is living and it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Wow. The Word of God is a discerner of our thoughts and the intent in our heart. You know, folks, reading the Bible, the Word of God is the only book that when you're reading it, it's reading you. No other book does that. No other book reads us as we're reading it. But God's Word does. It is very much alive. Jesus Himself is the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. Yes, the Word is powerful. Though the heavens and the earth may pass away, the Word of God will remain forever and ever. And think of every enemy in the history, limited as it is these days that we teach our kids. But think in history, every wicked individual who tried to remove the Word of God, the Bible became his or her pallbearer every time. There is a reason the Word of God is still here today, and it's not going anywhere. They can try to do whatever they want, but until the church is out of here and the Holy Spirit removes himself, is lifted out, and the restrainer is gone, the Word of God ain't going anywhere here on earth. The Word of God is truth. It's absolute. It's alive. It's living. And when we read the Word of God, it sees what's going on in our heart and ministers to us. Because the Word of God is able to discern what's happening in our lives and know what's going on in our heart and in our thoughts. And so it's amazing, as I'm sure some of you know, if you've been reading studying the Bible and reading the Bible for any amount of time, really, you'll read a scripture and then some years go by and you read the scripture and you go, how did I not see that? Wow, I've read this before, but I don't remember that. Because the Word of God is alive. It's living. It's precious. It's to be handled with great care. It's to be handled with great care. We find in God's Word absolute truth. We find the discernment we need. We find the peace that we need. We find the strength and the hope that we need. This is why here at Calvary Chapel, Palm Desert, this is why we put such a precedence of teaching the Word here. Because it's the Word of God that changes lives. It's the Word of God that trains up disciples and makes disciples. Myself, Pastor Joe, Pastor Andrew, any of the teachers here in the fellowship, well, we can give our 2 cents all we want, but it doesn't matter. The Word of God is what changes lives here. That's the Word of God. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's perfect. And that's why we teach the Word here at Calvary Chapel. His Word leads to salvation, strengthens us. His Word also increases our faith, we're told. and his word disciples us. But we are to be doers of this word. Again, we are to listen with purpose and obey. Obey what God's word says. Because ultimately, as God desired for Joshua and the children of Israel to be prosperous on this journey, on this path, the truth is God desires the same for us. That's why this applies to us tonight. Because God desires that same prosperity for his children. He wants to see his children walking in the light, walking in victory. He says in verse 9, have I not commanded you? Yeah, he did three times, Lord. Be strong and of good courage again. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He starts in verse 5 reminding Joshua that I will be with you always. I will never leave you or forsake you. And he ends with, I will be with you wherever you go, Joshua. I will be with you, Christian, wherever you go. God has way too much invested in you and I to leave us to ourselves. That's not the God we serve. The God we serve leaves the 99 to go after the one. He wants us to stay in the fold, stay on the path. And he says again to be strong and to be of good courage for the third time here. But he also adds, do not be afraid. You know, fear is one of the enemy's go-to attacks on believers, fear. I once heard an acronym for fear. It was false evidence appearing real. Whom shall we fear? We fear the Lord God. That's who we fear. We fear the Lord. Fear can hold us back from trusting in God. Fear causes us to react based on fleshly instincts. And fear robs our peace and steals our joy. Every time, fear. Just a few verses I want to share with you as we're wrapping this up. These are some of my go-to fear not verses. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of peace and of love and a sound mind. In Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. In John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I give to you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. He says, let not your heart be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. In Psalm 27, verse 1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In Psalm 55, 22, a beautiful reminder for us. It says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. And then Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. Fear is a ripoff. It's a ripoff. Fear is fake news because it's from the enemy. It comes from the enemy, and it's designed for the unbeliever to stay apart from God and for the believer to keep us from fellowship with him, to keep us from the fellowship. He says, do not be dismayed in verse 9. Do not be dismayed, which means to be disheartened or rattled, spooked, unsettled. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And listen, if God be for us, who can be against us? He is with you, and he will never leave you, never forsake you. And so no matter what we face in this life, know this. God is greater than anything that can come our way. And any problem we face, any obstacle that lies ahead, any storm, he's the one who says to be still. And the winds and waves still obey him. The storms still obey him. And just as Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, he's still with us, even in the midst of the storm, because he will not leave us. Tonight's message of staying the course and how to stay the course. Some simple application questions. If you're feeling off course, a little brief spiritual checklist, if you will. Ask yourself these questions. Am I reading God's word daily? Am I in God's word daily? Am I praying daily? Am I fellowshipping with God daily? Am I being obedient to God's word? Perhaps there's a struggle there that you need to ask God to give you the strength to overcome, which he will. Are there any ungodly things that are trying to distract me? Or you could pick a bunch of them nowadays. Just look around the world and we can be distracted very easy by ungodliness. That it may be perhaps causing you to turn left or right. And then the last question to ask ourselves, are we trying to do things? Have we been trying to do things in our own strength or in our own might? And perhaps neglecting the strength and the might and the power that God desires to give us? Just a few questions to ask ourselves. Because honestly, we need to do this regularly. We need to regularly evaluate our walk with the Lord. We're all a piece of work. I mean, God's working in each of us. You know, we're work in progress, every one of us. And God is faithful to complete the work he began unto the day of Christ Jesus. He is faithful. But until we get to heaven, we're always going to be a work in progress here. And so maybe some of these questions you've asked yourself and you've said, you know what? I can do better here. I need to spend more time in the Word. Or I need to spend more time in prayer. Or maybe there's something we watch or we listen to, or it could be a place we hang out where there's just ungodliness there that's distracting us. And it's keeping us away. It's deterring us from the Lord. Or maybe we've been found trying to do something in our own strength and we're just frustrated. We're tired. Because we've been trying to do it in our own strength. And God says we are to give all our burdens to him. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Amen. And then last but not least, just a reminder that, listen, you're a child of God. You are blood-bought saints. The precious blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary's tree has covered you, washed you, and made you white as snow before holy God. And no man, no height, nor depth, no principality above or below, nothing can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us. And maybe you need to hear that tonight. Father, we love your word. We praise you, God, that your word is truth and your word speaks to our hearts. It discerns what's going on in our heart. It reveals things, Lord. And maybe tonight, Lord, as we've read, Lord, for those who are here and those who are watching, Lord, as God is speaking to us, is he's showing us how to stay on the narrow path. Lord, would you give us the strength to be obedient? Lord, if we're struggling in any area in our life, anything we've covered tonight, God, forgive us. And Lord, would you help us where we're weak? Be our strength, Lord. Help us to walk in victory in the beautiful path that you've given each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. And if you're watching tonight or you're here tonight and you haven't accepted the free gift of salvation, I mentioned three different scriptures earlier. Quite simply, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Give your heart, your life to him. You just cry out to the Lord, Lord Jesus, save me. I need salvation, God. I need to be forgiven. And you place your trust in Jesus Christ and him alone, and you will be saved. Father, we love you. We love your word here. We thank you for the fellowship tonight as we continue to worship you together. May you be pleased, Lord. We pray that we blessed you tonight, Lord. We pray that you're blessed tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.